Good morning. We are the Smith family. I am Katie Smith. This is my husband, Trey, and we have three daughters. Haley's six, Reese is three, and Landry is one. And we're really excited to be doing the first Advent reading of the season. So, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Why do we light this candle?
This candle reminds us to pause and take a breath during this holiday season. But not simply to take a break, we're reminded to let the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with joy and peace.
John 20, 22 says, "When Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Let us pray. Dear God, our world is distracted. We need the light of peace and love to shine in our world and the breath of your Spirit to fill our lives. Help us to settle down and receive the one who said, "I am the light of the world." We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
It was the summer of 1996, and we brought our senior high youth group to a place called Beaumont, Texas. There was a hurricane that hit named Hurricane Rita, and it absolutely devastated the entire coast, almost the same time Katrina did. Our job was to replace three roofs on houses, and I'm sorry, I sound like a dog, to replace three roofs on houses that we were asked to do. We've never done it before. They kind of coached us in the way, and we got those things done. On our drive down to Beaumont, Texas, the temperature in the van that we rented up there in the middle of the car said 107 degrees in the car driving down to Beaumont. So we knew that this was going to be one of those maybe intolerable weeks of heat. The second day that we were there, one of our students was bending over, because that's what you do when you're working at a work site and having to work on a roof. She did not realize that her shirt raised that much on her back. And for the maybe 4 or 5 hours that she was on that roof, she developed a blister this long, cooking on her back. And when she finally sat down for lunch, she just kind of said, "What is this?" And I wasn't about to touch the gushy thing, but we had to go to the hospital and have that taken care of. Also on that same day, later on in that evening, one of our students, we noticed earlier during the day, just wasn't right. For those of you who have kids or work around kids, you just know when things aren't right, and some of you, your kids are never right, but we'll talk about that later. You just noticed that there was something wrong with this child. We kept on asking, "Are you drinking?" Because that's the one thing that we have emphasized. You got to drink a lot of fluids. Keep hydrated. Keep hydrated. And this student drank nothing but Gatorades and Gatorades and Gatorades all day long. I'm not knocking the product, but that's all she drank was Gatorade the entire time. And finally, we had to kind of like coach her to certain places. We had to get her for to and fro. She would not go to the hospital. And finally, I made the adult call saying, "You know what? You can't even shower." This is how bad it was. They had to have two of the students bring her into the shower to try to cool her down a little bit. And we just said, "That's it. We're bringing you to the hospital." So here we are about 9 o'clock at night. And understand, in my 10 years of working in this church, this is the only time I've ever had to do this. 9 o'clock at night, we pull into the hospital. And Robert Stevens is carrying Tiffany Teague because she can't even walk. Her breathing's very erratic, all these things that are going on with her. And at the very same time, this ambulance comes roaring in, almost hitting Robert, which I kind of laughed at. And I didn't, but as they walked towards the back, this guy was being wheeled. Robert was carrying Tiffany. There was a person in the emergency room that looked and considered both situations. They looked at the vitals of both people, and they took Tiffany, who was our student, over this guy that came in the ambulance. And I didn't think much of it. I didn't think much of it right then and there. And then I began to ask. I've come to find out that the guy that was being brought in was shot in the leg. Okay? But he was stable. Tiffany was not stable. Her breathing was so, as the doctor said, shallow, erratic, unstable, and exhausted that she needed immediate treatment and resuscitation. Okay? That's how unstable the situation is. And some of us, depending on our disposition, approach this holiday with the exact same mentality, that sometimes the season can be a little bit shallow. There's something erratic and unstable about it. It's exhausted, and some of us need resuscitation of what this Christmas season is about. So, does anyone in here feel like their heart needs treatment on what Christmas is about? I know I do. It's been just one of those weeks. In my hand, as my nurse friend told me, this cool little device is called a respiratory incentive spirometer. Is that a cool thing to say? Respiratory incentive spirometer, okay? And what I call it is a neat little breathing doohickey. And it's not necessarily a breathing thing. I talked to a nursing friend of mine, and you're not necessarily breathing when you're using this. What they're doing is circulating your lungs. They want to know how much your lungs are expanding and not expanding. They want to know how much your oxygen is. The reason that I am showing you this today is I want you to know what my breathing is like. I'm a little bit nervous right now, but we're going to measure this. Okay? You got this, Shane? You ready? Can y'all see me? This is normal, everyday breathing, and y'all can count. Come on up here, Elizabeth. I need her to time me in doing this. We're going to do this for 2 minutes. One time with me. I can't do this because I'm ADD. I needed her help. So she's going to time and count while I just breathe. You ready? Just tell me when to go. Ready, set, go. 22 breaths in 1 minute. Y'all were telling me to go, and I was trying to block you out, okay? So ADD. There's a reason behind this, and I'm going to give you some statistical information, and Elizabeth's going to help me with something in just a minute. The average American breathes 16 to 22 breaths a minute. The average American breathes 16 to 22 breaths a minute. Optimal breathing is 6 breaths a minute. Fathom that. Optimal breathing is at 6 breaths per minute. What that means is our bodies have the ability and is designed to gain 80 to 90% of energy through breathing properly. 80 to 90% of our body's energy is intended to be gathered by breathing properly. When we are breathing 16 to 20 breaths per minute, we are only accessing 10 to 20% of the energy that is freely accessible to us. Okay? And most of us don't think about this. How many of you think about breathing? Nobody thinks about these things, right? Now, how many of you have ever been in a prayer group or a monastery, or maybe yoga, or in some kind of maybe martial arts, where you have to think about your breathing? Has anyone ever participated in those activities, okay? And you will begin to see, when you are going through these things, that the average breathing at 6 to 8 breaths per minute is really enlightening. So, we're going to do this as a congregation, okay? I'm going to have Elizabeth come back up here in just a minute, and we are going to practice breathing 6 to 8 breaths for just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. And this is my warning. I'm not a medical person, but if you begin to feel lightheaded, you're breathing from your lungs. Breathing happens from your abdomen, okay? If you begin to feel lightheaded, just quit what we're doing and join the normal world, because if people begin to pass out, I don't want that to happen. All right, so if Elizabeth will come back out here, we are going to try practicing 6 to 8 breaths per minute, and I haven't timed this at home. I just, in my martial arts world, have done this before, so let's try this again. And it's usually about a count of eight, and that's what I'm going to be doing in my head. If you can't do it, breathe normally. Let's try this. A little bit slower than the average. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that relaxing? Don't you feel the stress? Just go, When I did my years of martial arts that I used to do, that's one of the first practices that we did is breathing. You have to get your breathing right. Breathing has the ability to restore, refresh, renew, revive, and in our Christian language, to be born again. In our Christian language, to be born again. Cohesion, and this is a medical term, and I got this from my medical friends in our church, so thank you. Cohesion is the ability to when your body has hit its ideal state of homeostasis. Your pupils are exactly where they need to be. Your blood cells are traveling at optimal length through your body. You're not exhausted. You're not crashing. You're not jacked up on some wild drink or adrenaline. The body is exactly where it needs to be because of this thing that we call breathing. Christmas is often portrayed in our media as stuff. Stuff that we buy, stuff that we can entertain to enjoy this season. The origins of Christmas is not about stuff and finding out those things, but enjoying the light, the hope, the new fresh airness that God can bring. It's one thing to know that we are busy with all of these things, but in the next segment, we're going to talk about what the disciples discovered at the very end of their life. At the very end of Jesus' life, to understand what this season is truly about. I want y'all to meet my friend. If I could put this thing down without knocking him over. Got him. This is Recessa Annie. Any of y'all in the CPR community would recognize this. Got an American Red Cross hat for them. Thank you to the fire department for letting us borrow this. There's a point I bring it up. I'll bring that up in a second. Here today's reading in Scripture. This is taken out of John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. If you have your Bible, you can open it up. When it was the evening of the first day of the week, the followers were together. The doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jews. Then Jesus came down and stood right in the middle of them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The followers were thrilled when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I now send you." After he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. So, how many of you like your breath first thing in the morning? Is it like the most glorious thing you could experience? Now imagine somebody who's been in the grave for 3 days, and the very first thing he comes to you is, this is a really awkward story. Most people pass up on the story because it doesn't make sense to them, okay? Most people pass up on the story, and it's just like, why in the world would Jesus breathe his nasty breath into these disciples after being gone for 3 days in the grave dead? If you were an Old Testament Jew, you would have got it. But sometimes we lose things in translation, and I'm going to try to make this connection with us. There's this word in the Old Testament called ruach. It's kind of a cool word, ruach. Okay, it's kind of like you rock, but you kind of change the words like you do on Words with Friends and try to make things happen. But this word ruach, it means spirit, the spirit of God with you. In the very beginning, God created, and his spirit dwelt throughout all the land. Now, if you turn over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, he uses the very same word when he picks up Adam, he forms them, and he into Adam, he ruwalked Adam into life. He breathed new life into this thing so that it can now live, all right? So Jesus was in the grave, the disciples were following him for all those days, he was crucified, dead, resurrected. He was gone. They were all confused. They had no idea what to do next. And the very first thing that Jesus does after saying, "Peace be with you," two times, is to breathe new life into them. They would have made the connection. Oh my gosh, we are becoming a new creature. We are becoming this new creature. There wasn't a separation. Today, we like to separate things between spiritual things and non-spiritual things. That's just where we are today. I'm not knocking it, but that's just where we are. There are spiritual things, like let's go to church, we'll go to a prayer group, we'll do a Bible study, we'll help with VBC, we'll help with Christmas services. These are all spiritual things. And now there's non-spiritual things like Chipotle and going to a movie and entertainment and the Cowboys. Spiritual, non-spiritual. Now, some of y'all are like, ooh, Cowboys are pretty spiritual to me, or whatever your venue may be. But back in Jesus's day, there was not this separation between spiritual and non-spiritual thing. It was all one thing. And when Jesus was rose from the dead, came back to life, and breathed new life into his disciples, he was saying, this is all new. The Spirit be with you. And the reason that we're approaching this Christmas season, starting backwards and looking forward, is to understand that you are new. Remember a couple of minutes ago, if you did the breathing exercise, that freshness, that newness, that joy, that's just like your body hasn't felt this in a while. All of a sudden, you're like, I feel relaxed. I feel like I can approach this season. That's what we are really trying to say here at Stonebridge United Methodist Church, is that you can approach this season with a fresh air of newness, okay? Now, some of you may be like our friend Recessa Annie here. You haven't been involved with things enough. You don't know how to breathe properly. You don't know how to make the right type of commitments to move forward with your relationship with Christ. And you don't know what that new, fresh air of life is truly about. But as I said, the Old Testament, there was no separation between spiritual and non-spiritual things. And sometimes we get into this culture where we say, that's Christmas, and that's really not Christmas. How do you tie sand into that? Where does Frosty go in? There is no difference between spiritual and non-spiritual in Jesus' time, and that's something that we may need to claim again, especially as believers, because if we have that new breath of life living within our lungs, we are called to share that with others. Now, going back to my student Tiffany, who was not breathing normally, one of the first things the doctors did was stick a needle in her to try to calm her systems down. They put a respirator on her so that they can get her blood circulating in the right rhythm again. They did all of these things to get her system to start going in that right direction. Of course, this took about 5 hours, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we followed that up with a trip to the Pancake House, but that was fun. We also need to be in that same alignment, that there are things that we may need to push out of our system in order that we can be in alignment with God. And likewise, there are things that we need to start taking on so that we could be in the right alignment with God. To make this sermon even more practical, there are so many things that we can do during the Christmas season. And in saying that, it's kind of an irony. We don't want you to do more. We want you to breathe right. We don't want you to do more. We want you to breathe right. Okay? And if that means helping with Malvern Elementary School, because that's one of the things that they asked us, there were roughly 188 students at Malvern Elementary who will not have a Christmas unless Stonebridge United Methodist Church and gets involved with it. And so what I did is I said, you know what, I can help with this. This is an easy thing to do. But I wanted to challenge myself and say, you know what, it is so easy for me to just rake up the 30, 40 bucks or whatever it's going to take to buy presents for these kids. And I said, no. I'm not just going to break out the money. I am going to change something about myself in order to help others enjoy this Christmas season. So I have this one problem, and it's called Chipotle. Does anyone have a problem with Chipotle? I'm telling you, 4 times a week is my average. 4 times a week is my, I'm telling, it's just where I go and hang out. If people want to say, let's go out to eat, where do I go? Chipotle. It's not a question, okay? So I started thinking of the math, and what my meal roughly costs is $6.77 every time I go there. I can tell you exactly what I get. It's so bad, they know what I want now. I can walk in, the guy goes, ah, you're that guy. Double order rice, let's put in the fajitas, let's put in the carnitas, throw in double order of hot sauce, a little bit of lettuce on top, top with sour cream, mix it all up. Excellent. They know my order. Even, I mean, I could just call them and they probably look at the speed dial. Oh, it's Ed. He's coming. They know my order. So what I have decided to do is to change something about myself. I am giving up Chipotle for the entire month of December in order that, don't clap at that. I want Chipotle. I am sacrificing my desire to have Chipotle in order that the money that I would spend for that, I'm putting in a little fund, and I'm using it to help with Malvern Elementary. Does that make sense? So maybe God is challenging you to change something about yourself in order that others may enjoy this season. I don't know what that is, but I promise you, if you begin to think about it, God will say, you know what, maybe you can give that up in order to help somebody else. Because that's what this season is truly about. This past week, there was a person, and I don't know if they want me to call her out, but there was a person by the name of Jamie who came together with a list of activities to do between now and Christmas. It was just an inspiration. She gathered it on the internet and all these other things. And I have a student and a couple students that are going to be handing these things out. And her idea was, what can we do to make Christmas less commercial and more enjoyable? So she came out with this list, and I think Elizabeth and a couple other kiddos in the back are going to start handing these out in a minute, okay? You can go down this thing, and maybe you can think about things for yourself. What can you change in your season to make it less stressful and more enjoyable? One of the last things, two more things, and then we will proceed from there. Tonight we're having this great event called the Cowboy Christmas. And believe it or not, we're going to have close to 425 people in this space to be able to enjoy the festivities of what Christmas is about. I invite you to maybe say, you know what, I bought a ticket, I bought a meal so that I could come and enjoy this. Maybe you say to yourself, I can eat with my spouse and give one of my tickets away to a neighbor. Because I've never invited, I've always wanted something for my neighbor to come and do with our church. It's not threatening, it's not Sunday morning, they gotta get up early, they gotta get all their kids ready. You could just come here and eat and enjoy a good show. Maybe you sacrifice a ticket so that your neighbor could come and share a meal there. I don't know what that's going to do with our crowding, but I love it. I'd love to have 800 people in here. That would be awesome. And the last thing, we were expecting these postcards to come, but they didn't come, but we will get them to you next week. One of the last intentional things that you can do to maybe help somebody else with this Christmas season is hand out a card that we're going to be giving you next Sunday. And basically, it's just a very broad statement in saying, we've been thinking about you, we hope that you enjoy this season for what it is, and we put our Christmas services in there. There's not a lot of information to it, and we did that on purpose because we want you to know that information. So that means take your bulletin, know what the services are about, all of our Christmas Eve services, and talk to your neighbor. We don't want you to just like go to Starbucks and slide it on the card table and walk away and hope the next guy will get it and say, oh, Stonebridge United Methodist Church, there's 7 services. We want you to know the person you're going to hand this to. Talk to them, get to know them so that they can have the information about our Christmas services. And again, maybe you're just not there. Maybe you're just not there. That you approach this season with such hesitation. All the stresses, all the financial woes. I even heard it at, I was at Kroger this past week where there was a couple fighting about groceries they're buying so that they maybe can buy more presents for others. They were fighting about that. I said, that's not what this season's about. Breathe new life for others. That's what Christ did in the resurrection. He literally took us who were basically non-living beings, and you may feel that way today, that you haven't had that breath of life come back to you, so that God is breathing through you and you are breathing God for others. But think about that. God created us, designed us to run perfectly. He created us and designed us to run perfectly. My challenge for you is to take that, claim it, own it, and do it. Do something for someone else that will give them life. And finally, if you're like our friend Recessa Annie, whoa, this was really awkward. It was like naked, and so I decided to dress it, or Sharon decided to dress it. Finally, if you need to feel that refreshness, that renewness, that opportunity to be born again, please understand that the Christ child has come and is coming. You don't have to wait until December 25th. you can accept that new life, that new breath now. But the challenge for us is to take it in completely, 100% for what it is, and then to share it with others. Because it's not about us. It is about us and recognizing that God wants us completely, but more importantly, to go do something with that. So maybe sacrifice something between now and the beginning of now and Christmas. Maybe change something about your pattern so that others may enjoy this season. And I promise you, God will come. Let us pray. Father God, we pray for the Ruach, the spiritual breath that comes into our lives so that we can be born again. We thank you that we can recognize your grace in the busyness of this season. That maybe there are things that you are calling us to change about ourselves so that we can honor you with our time and our commitment. We thank you for the Christmas season, God, that you can be born in our lives, and let that born identity be found within us, and let this world recognize your love and grace in everything that we do. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen.